start from Yud Ches Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. The Gemara is kind of picking up in the middle of a sugya here. So the Gemara says, Lema Abaye V'Rava Bifugta D'Rav U'Shmuel Kam Bifugta. Didn't mar. Achsadra B'Vika. Rava Mar Mutra L'Talta B'Chulo D'Amrina P'Tikra Yori V'Sosem. U'Shmuel Amar Ima Taltalin Ba'Ela B'Dalan Amos D'Lo Amrina P'Tikra Yori V'Sosem. This goes back to a topic that just the Gemara began just on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which was a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, but a person who puts Chach on top of an Achsadra, which is like a portico or a gazebo, that doesn't have what are called patzimin, or these side posts. So there was a machlokas in the Gemara whether such a sukkah is valid, and the Gemara connected that machlokas to the famous concept which we've spoken about beforehand, back in Erevin, called Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosim, which basically means, do we envision the walls of the mechitza as if they extend, as if, you know, we draw this invisible line to extend the mechitzas or not? The Gemara now wants to suggest that machlokas that we just referenced back in Yud Ches Amud Aleph is related to another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and Erevin regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say, for example, you have a portico, a gazebo, that's situated in the middle of a valley. A valley is considered a karmelis, and you want to basically make this achsadra into a Rishus Hayachid for the purposes of carrying on Shabbos. So there's a machlokas and Erevin between Rav and Shmuel whether that's a valid mechitza. Rav says that it is, and the Gemara says that's because of the principle of Pi Tikra, whereas Shmuel disagrees, and because presumably he denies the principle of Pi Tikra. So the Gemara clarifies. Aliva de Shmuel Kuliyama Lupligi. According to Shmuel, these two machloksim are almost identical. Just as by Hilchos Shabbos he denies Pi Tikra, so too by Sukkah he also denies it, and therefore would say that the Sukkah in this scenario is invalid. Ki pligi aliba de Rav. Abaye kirav, virava amar lecha, ad kan lo amar Rav Hasam, elo de mechitzos la achsadr hu davidei, aval hacha de lav lachi avidei lo, whereas according to Rav, it's a little bit less clear. Abaye and Rav seem to be on the same page. Just as Rav says by Hilchos Shabbos that we invoke Pi Tikra, meaning to say that the portico is considered a Rishus Hayachid, so too Abaye says for the purposes of Hilchos Sukkah that putting the schach on top of the portico, even without the patzim and without the posts, is a valid sukkah. However, the Gemara says Rava can also agree to Rav for Hilchos Shabbos, but disagree in the context of sukkah, because by Shabbos you can argue that at least the mechitza for the portico, for the achsadra, was made for the purpose of the achsadra. In the case of the sukkah, you were not making the mechitza for the purpose of the sukkah per se, so Rava could agree with Rav by Hilchos Shabbos and yet still hold his position when it comes to sukkah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanan, v'chin chatzar ha-mukethas achsadra, v'amai, nema p'tikra yor v'sosim. Now the Gemara references a Mishnah from back on Daf Yud Zayin, where the Mishnah told us that if you have a courtyard that's surrounded on three sides by this achsadra, this portico or gazebo, the Mishnah says that the sukkah is pasul. So the question is, why is it pasul? Why don't we just say p'tikra? According to Rav and Abaye that we subscribe to p'tikra, why don't we just envision the achsadra as if it covers the entire chatzir? The Gemara says no.
Rabbi, why don't they use Dofen Akuma here?
Dofen Akuma only works if the sukkah is valid and then you have four amos of pasul schach. Here,
so
the
case is more than four amos?
The Gemara doesn't really explain the number of amos, but that part's not really relevant. Here, Pi Tikra and Dofen Akuma are different principles. So, you know, in other words, Pi Tikra is basically saying that I want to extend the walls down to actually form a real mechitza. Dofen Akuma is a halacha that relates to the wall going up into the schach. This is not really a schach halacha. Pi Tikra is more of a wall-related halacha. So we're trying to figure out, well, why don't we invoke Pi Tikra? Why can't we envision this achsadra, this portico, this gazebo, as if it surrounds the entire chatzer, and just say that the sukkah is valid? So the Gemara says, no, Tirgama Rava, Aliba da Abaye, Kishahishva es Keruyo. So Rava comes to Abaye's defense and says that the case is where the wall of the achsadra and the wall of the sukkah kind of run into each other. You can't tell where one ends and the next one begins. In that case, the Gemara says you can't invoke Pi Tikra because you don't know where the sukkah ends and the achsadra starts. So the Gemara... Right, exactly. So the Gemara says, "Besura masne lahashmaita b'haylishna, befumpadisa masne sike chagabi achsadra she'in la patzim in divrei akol psula, yesh la patzim in abaya merkshera rav amar psula, abaya merkshera amrin and lavud, rav amar psula lo amrin and lavud, v'hilchus lakalishna kama." The Gemara just points out that the version that we just quoted in the Gemara, the whole case about putting schach on top of an achsadra without posts, right, that whole case, and as it relates to Pi Tikra, that was the version that was taught in Surah. In Pumpadisa, then a slightly different version of this halacha where the case was that if you put tzchach on top of an achsadra with no posts, everyone agrees that it's pasul. If there are posts, that's the machlokas Abaye and Rava, and the machlokas revolves around whether we subscribe to the principle of lavud. However, the Gemara says we follow the first version. In other words, we follow the version taught in Surah, namely that everyone agrees that if you put tzchach on an achsadra with posts on the side, everyone agrees that that's a kasher sukkah. The machlokas is if there are no posts, and again, that's a machlokas that revolves around whether we invoke the principle of pitikra. Okay, then the Gemara says Rav Ashi Ashkechelu Rav Kahana to come misake chagavi achsadra she'in lapatzimin. Rav Ashi found Rav Kahana putting up schach on a portico that did not have posts. Amar lelo savar marhada amar Rava yesh lapatzimin kshera in lapatzimin psula. Don't you subscribe to Rava's halacha that if there are no posts on the side of the achsadra, then it's pasul? So the Gemara says no. Ach vile nira mi bifnim v'shava mi bachutz inami nira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim de itmar nira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim nidon mishum lachi v'lachi haynu patzimin. Basically, the Gemara says that Rav Kahana's response to Rav Ashi was that one part of this mechitza is not even. In other words, the Gemara earlier said that if the whole sukkah and the ohel or the achsadra is contiguous, then it's a problem because you can't tell where one ends and the next one begins. However, in this particular case, if you see the image on the side of the Gemara, that in other words, on one side the achsadra and the sukkah looks even, but on the other side, either on the inside or the outside, it doesn't look even. You can tell where one ends and the other begins. So the Gemara says, just as for the purposes of Hilchos Mavui from Maseches Erevin, we say that if either on the inside or the outside of the Mavui, it is distinguishable where the Mavui ends and the Achsadra begins, then that Lechi is valid. If you put up a crossbeam on top of the Mavui, you are allowed to carry there on Shabbos. So too, when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, if at least on one side of that Achsadra-Sukkah combination, you can tell where one ends and the other begins, the Gemara says that's going to be okay. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana, Psala Yotze Min HaSukkah Nidon Kesukkah. We briefly referenced this halacha at the end of last week, which is that if you have what's called psal, literally the waste, like the waste products, the chaff of the grain and the grape skins that we alluded to last week that are coming off of the sukkah, the Gemara says that has the status of a sukkah. So what does that mean? My psal ayotzim in a sukkah, amar ula, kanim ayotzim la'achorei sukkah. It refers to reeds that are going off the back of a sukkah. In other words, what Ula is basically saying is that if you have reeds that are overextending from one sukkah going into another sukkah, that has the status of a sukkah. So the Gemara asks, but don't you require three walls in order to have a valid sukkah? The Gemara says, yeah, but the Inka, you have three walls. Don't you require a minimum of 7x7 tefachim, as we've already spoken about? The Gemara says, again, but the Inka, you have that as well. Isn't there a further requirement that you have to have more shade than sun, as we know? The Gemara says, again, b'di'ika, you have that as well. So the Gemara says, so then, ihachi ma'al member, what's the chiddush? In other words, if it has all the regular standards of a sukkah, what's the chiddush of saying that if the reeds overextend into another sukkah, that it's kosher? Why would I have thought otherwise? So the Gemara says, "Ma'u d'seim ahol ule gavai avide ule varai lo avide malo kamash malon." That one could have argued that since those reeds were only made for the inner part of the sukkah, they were not made for the outer part, for the part that overextends the sukkah, one could have argued that perhaps that is not considered valid tzchach. So no, kamash malon, that's also considered valid tzchach. That's one explanation of psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah. Then the Gemara says, Rabba v'Rav Yosef Amri Travayu, hacha v'kanem hayotzeim lefnim min ha-sukkah, u'mashcha v'az l'chad ha-dofen b'hadayu. Ma'u d'seima ha-leis b'hechshir sukkah, kamash malon. Sorry. Then the Gemara says that the second explanation of psal hayotzeim min ha-sukkah refers to reeds that are again extending within the sukkah. In other words, they're not going off of the sukkah, but they're within the airspace of the sukkah. The only thing is that the two parallel walls of the sukkah are not even. One wall is longer than the other, so the schach is basically lined up with one of the walls of the sukkah, but the other wall of the sukkah is much shorter. Now, why would I have thought that that's problematic? Because if you factor in the reeds that you're using as schach and the shorter wall of the sukkah, that piece by itself does not meet the standards of 7x7 tefachim that's normally required as the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. The chiddush of the Gemara is that even though that particular section does not meet your 7x7 tefach standards, but since the sukkah as a whole does meet those standards, therefore the sukkah is going to remain kosher. That's the second explanation. Then the Gemara gives a third shot. Rabba bar bar chana amar Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi, the sukkah is okay and I can eat any part of it?
Yeah, so we're going to see see in a few minutes that there are going to be certain distinctions depending on whether you have pasul schach versus just regular airspace. But yes, the basic answer is that yes, you could still eat underneath that part. As we'll clarify that in a second. Okay, then the Gemara says Rabba Bar Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan Lo Nitzrucha Ela Lasuka Sheruba Tzilasa Meruba Mechamasa Umiuta Chamasa Meruba Mitzilasa Ma'u Desema Tipasa Bahachpurta Kamash Malan Umayotze Yotze Mehachshir Sukkah. The third explanation is that, let's say, for example, 90% of my sukkah is more shade than sun, but 10% of my sukkah is more sun than shade. So I would have said that 10% might do me in, that 10% might be problematic, since part of the sukkah has more sun than shade. So the chiddush of the Gemara is that, no, that really we say that the sukkah is kosher. And what did the Gemara mean when it said that psal hayotze min ha-sukkah? So in other words, up until now, we've been assuming that yotze min ha-sukkah meant like almost like a physical extension, that the schach overextended the physical parameters of the sukkah. But now the Gemara is saying that no, yotze min ha-sukkah is more of like a metaphysical or more of like a halachic point. It means that that part of the schach is pasul, but it doesn't matter. It's still considered to be a valid sukkah. It's yotze min ha-sukkah, meaning to say it's left the confines of valid schach, but the sukkah itself is still considered to be a kosher sukkah. Then the Gemara gives a fourth approach. Rav Oshia Amar Lo Nitzrucha Ela L'Schach Pasul Pachos Mishlosha B'Sukkah Kitana Umay Yotze Yotze Mitora Sukkah. Very similar type of an answer. Again, we're talking about pasul schach that's less than three tefachim. So again, normally less than three tefachim is usually good because of lavud, but it happens to be a very small sukkah. So I might have said that that's a problem because even though you technically have less than three tefachim, but let's say your whole sukkah is just 7x7 tefachim. So that's already, you know, getting close to half of the sukkah. So the chiddush is that no, it's still going to be a kosher sukkah. And again, when the Gemara uses that phrase yotze min ha-sukkah, the Gemara gives us a very similar explanation here to as we gave in the previous explanation, which is that it's not a physical extension of the schach, but rather it's a halachic. It's saying that this schach is possible. It's overextending the bounds of kosher schach, but nonetheless the sukkah is kosher. So now the Gemara asks, maskeflor of Hoshia lo yehei ela avir the avir pachos mishlosha tefachim b'sukkah katana mi pasil. Why is pasil schach any worse than airspace? Even airspace, as we're going to see in one second, as Billy was already alluding to before, airspace, blank airspace in your schach is much worse than pasul schach, as we'll see in a second. But yet, even when it comes to airspace, when you have less than three tefachim, that's also okay, even for airspace. So the question is, what was the hava? You know, why would I have even thought that even for a small sukkah, that less than three tefachim of either airspace or pasul schach is problematic? Why would I have even thought that? So the Gemara says, no, Amar le Rabbi Abba, zem etztarif yashin et tachtav, zem etztarif v'einish in et tachtav. Again, alluding to what Billy was saying before, that if the schach is pasul and it's less than three tefachim, that's totally okay. That basically is almost like transforms into kosher schach to the point that you can sleep and eat underneath it. Whereas when it comes to airspace, so yes, the sukkah is kosher, but you're not allowed to eat or sleep underneath the part of the blank airspace. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Umi yikamidi de itztarufim etztarif hu atzmin akasher. Do we ever find such a thing where something itself can combine to make the sukkah kosher, but you can't eat or sleep underneath it? Meaning, if it's combining to validate the sukkah, then it should be kosher to eat and sleep underneath it. How can you make this distinction? The Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Eliashiv in Tit HaNarok Yotziach. Shem Etztari Flar Boim Sa'ar V'Hatovel Bolo Also Lo Tiviu. It's not such a crazy precedent. The Gemara in Zvachim tells us that let's say you have a little bit of cement, of liquid mortar cement, that gets mixed into your 40 sa'af for the mikvah. The Gemara says that's a valid mikvah. That's a valid tevila. But if your entire mikvah is filled with mortar with cement, then it's not a valid tevila. So it's not so crazy. You have something which can combine to 40 sa'ah, but if you have it all by itself, then it's not going to be considered a valid mikvah. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Ha'osa sukaso kimin srif, osha samcha l'chosel, Rebbe Eliezer posa mibnesha in lagag v'chacham b'masher. This is a Mishnah that we already alluded to back on the Ches, where the Mishnah tells us that if one has a circular sukkah, or if the sukkah is propped up, is leaning against a wall, Rebbe Eliezer says those sukkahs are pasul because there's no roof on it, but the chachamim say that it's okay. So the Gemara clarifies, Tana, Moda Rebbe Eliezer shem higbia min akarka tefach, o shehifliga min akosel tefach, shehik shera. Rebbe Eliezer will agree that if you distance the sukkah from the wall by a tefach, or if you lift it off the ground by a tefach, even if there's no roof, then that's okay. So the Gemara asks, Mai tabayu derabanan? So the Rabbanan assume that a circular sukkah or a sukkah propped up against the wall is kosher even without moving it, even if it's mamish leaning against the wall, even if you didn't move it at all. So why is that? Why do the Rabbanan assume that such a sukkah is kosher? So says the Gemara, Shipuei Olim Ka'olim Damu, citing a concept that appears at the end of Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara says that an incline or a slope on top of an O, on top of a tent, has the status of an O. What does that mean? Basically, if you, in other words, the idea here is that even though there's no roof and there's no real, you know, there's no conspicuous distinction between the sukkah and where the sukkah ends and where the wall begins, let's say, it doesn't matter. The Rabbanan say you don't need to have this like conspicuous distinction between the sukkah and the wall. It will still be valid. So in other words, in order to say that such a sukkah is kosher, presumably you have to subscribe to this principle called Shipuei Olim Ka'olim Damu, that the slope, the incline of the Oel, has the status of the Oel itself. So the Gemara now says, Abaye Ashkechei L'Rav Yosef Tekagane V'Kilas Chasana B'Sukkah. Abaye one time found Rav Yosef sleeping in the groom's canopy that was attached to the sukkah, meaning to say there was some kind of a netting that was attached to the sukkah, but it wasn't part of the sukkah proper. Now, the only justification that one can have to sleep in a part that's attached to the sukkah is if you deny the previous principle that we just cited. If you think that Shipuei Ahalim Lav Ka'ahalim Damu, if you think that the incline, the slope, the top of the sukkah does not have the status of the sukkah, that basically means that that ohel that was, you know, artificially attached to the sukkah basically is just considered to be one contiguous thing with the sukkah itself. But if you subscribe to the Rabbanan's principle that Shipuei Ahalim Ka'ahalim Damu, then what you're basically saying is that there are two separate entities. There's the sukkah, and then there's this Kilas Chasan and the groom's canopy. So the only justification that Rav Yosef would have to sleep in there and be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah is if he denied that principle, which led Abaye to asking him, Omar le kemad ke Rabbi Eliezer, shavak rabbanan va'avada ke Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, what Rav Yosef was effectively saying is that he disagrees with the Rabbanan and subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer Shita. But that's highly problematic, because we know that when it comes to Hilchos Psak, 99% of the time, we always follow the Rabbim over the Yachin. So what right does Rav Yosef have to follow Rabbi Eliezer? To which the Gemara says, no, Omar le breisa ipchatane Rabbi Eliezer, mashir v'chacham and poslin. So Rav Yosef's response was that I found a brisa that reverses the shitas, and the brisa, it's actually Rabbi Eliezer who says that such a sukkah is kosher, and the chachamim who say it's pasul, which ironically means that the chachamim in this brisa deny the principle of Shipuei Ahalim Ka'alim, and therefore me sleeping in the chasan's canopy attached to the sukkah is actually okay. To which Abaye then asks, Shavak Masnisin Va'avada Kibraisa. So, but again, you're following a less authoritative source. Typically, we assume that Mishnayos are more authoritative than Braisos. So why are you following the Braisos version of events over the Mishnas? To which Rav Yosef says, no. Amar Le Masnisin Yechidahi Desanya Ha'oses Ukaso Kimin Tzrif Osha Samcha Lakosel Rabbi Nasan Omer Rabbi Eliezer Posam Neshein Lagag Vachachamim Achshirin. Rav Yosef explained that our Mishnah is actually a Das Yachid. Our Mishnah is reflective of Rabbi Nassan's version of events. Rabbi Nassan is the one who claims that it's Rabbi Eliezer who says that such a sukkah is pasul lachem say it's kosher, but apparently all the other Tanaim disagreed with that. Most of the Tanaim thought that actually the opposite was true, that really the Chachamim said it was pasul, and Rabbi Eliezer said that it was kosher. So again, that's how the Gemara concludes. Okay.
Rabbi, yes. The diagrams that they have in the Gemara, it's made out of ska. Like,
correct. It's again.
And the
I mean, again, it's obviously going to have all the regular halachos of sukkah. And if you're missing the schach and the walls, then obviously there's nothing to discuss. The problem is that there's this like barrier, some kind of a netting that's separating between the chasan's canopy and the sukkah proper. That gets into the Gemara's whole discussion about whether that's really considered a part of the sukkah or not. That's exactly the issue here. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Machatzelis kadim gedola, asa'a l'shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'in mesakchin ba, l'sikach mesakchin ba ve'ina mekabelas tuma. So the Mishnah tells us the following. Now we're discussing the reed mats that you can use for schach. So let's say I have a large reed mat. So as we'll see in the Gemara, large reed mats were typically meant for schach, whereas the smaller ones were typically meant for lying on. So let's say I have a large reed mat, but I decided to use it to lie on. Now deciding to use it to lie on is a problem because now it's considered a kli, now it's makabel tumah. So if I have a large reed mat but I wanted to use it for lying on, so now it's makabel tumah and I cannot use it for schach, but if my intent was to use it for schach, then obviously it's okay. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedola, Asa'a L'Shchiva Mekabelas Tumah V'Ein Mesakchen Ba, L'Sikach Mesakchen Ba V'Ein Mekabelas Tumah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the size of the reed mat is completely immaterial. All that matters is what was your intention. If you made it for lying on, then you cannot use it. If you made it for schach, then obviously you can. So the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kashya, Amar Asa'a L'Shchiva Mekabelas Tumah V'Ein Mesakchen Ba, Taima Da Asa'a L'Shchiva Hastama L'Sikach. So the Gemara says, we seem to have an internal contradiction within this Mishnah. On the one hand, the Mishnah tells us that if you made the reed mats for lying on, they're mekabel tumah, and you cannot use it for schach, implying that if you made the reed mats without any sort of intention, you just made it stam, without specifying why you made it, it sounds like that would be valid for schach. On the other hand, v'hadar tani l'sikuch mesachin b'v'eina mekabel es tumah, taima da'aso l'sikuch ha'stama l'shchiva. On the other hand, we also said in the Mishnah that if you made the reed mats for schach, then it's okay, implying that if you made it without specification, it sounds like it's a problem. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, halo kashya, kan b'gadola gan b'katana. It depends, again, as we mentioned, on the size of the mat. If it's a large mat, the assumption is that it was made for schach. If it's a smaller mat, the assumption is it was made for lying on. So without specification, you can assume that a large mat is okay and a small mat is problematic. Then skipping the parentheses, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, achas kitana v'achas gedola, asal l'shchiva mekabel es tumah ve'ein mesakchin ba. So as we said in the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer does not care about the size of the mat. He says if you made it for lying on, then it's mekabel tumah and you cannot use it for schach. Taima da'asal l'shchiva, hastama l'sikach. So again, the only reason why you're allowed to use it for schach is because you made it. I'm sorry. The only reason why it's possible for schach is because you made it for lying on, implying that if you just made the reed mat without any specification, that's okay. But the problem is ema seifa asal l'sikuch mesakchin ba ve'ena mekabel es tumah taima da'asal l'sikuch hastama l'shchiva. The seifa of the Mishnah gives us the opposite implication, right? In other words, that if I made it for schach, then it's okay, implying that if I made it stam, then it's a problem. So which one is it? Ela amar Rava begedola kulei amalo pligi distama l'sikuch. If it's a large reed mat, everyone agrees that stam without specification, that's certainly made for schach. Ki pligi b'ketana. The Machlokas is regarding a smaller reed mat. Tanakama savar stam ketana l'shchiva. The Tanakama assumes, as we've already been assuming until now, that smaller reed mats are meant for lying on, not for schach. For Rabbi Eliezer savar stam ketana nami l'sikuch. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, he says no. He says even small reed mats are made for schach. Then the Gemara says v'hachi ka'amar machatzelas hakanim gedola asal l'shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'in mesakchin ba taima da asal l'shchiva hastama nasa kamisha asal l'sikuch mesakchin ba. So again, a large reed mat is if I made it for the purpose of lying on, then it's mekabel tumah and I cannot use it for schach. Implying that if I made that, in other words, implying that if I made it stam without specification, then it's okay. Then again, skipping the parentheses. But also, Rabbi Eliezer lemeimar achas kitana v'achas gedola stomach shera l'sikuch. That's where Rabbi Eliezer comes and chimes in and says it doesn't matter what the size of the reed mat is; it only matters what your intention is. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you make a reed mat without specification, it's kosher for schach. So Amar Le Abaye Ihachi Rebbe Eliezer Omer Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedola Achas Gedola V'Achas Ketana Miboyli. So first of all, Abaye says that textually it's very difficult to say this, because if Rebbe Eliezer is going to basically assume that, in other words, he's going to basically disagree when it comes to the small reed mats and say that those are also made for schach, he should have presented that one last. Usually, when you're presenting a machlokas, you want to state the thing upon which everyone agrees first. So in other words, the fact that he says Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedola textually sounds like it's out of order. But Oud ki plige b'gedola hu deflige for Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra. Disanya machatzelas hakarim b'gedola mesakchin ba. Rabbi Eliezer omer in ena mekabelas tuma mesakchin ba. And not only that, says the Gemara, but Rabbi Eliezer is actually disagreeing regarding the large reed mats as well, because Rabbi Eliezer says that the only way in which you can use large reed mats is if they're not mekabel tuma, implying that if you made them stam, that they're still going to be a problem, even though that's against the implication that we said before. Before we said that reed mats, that large reed mats stam are always made for schach. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amar Rav Papa b'ketana kulei amalu pligi d'stam l'shchiva. Everyone agrees that small reed mats are meant for lying on and therefore are generally possible for schach. Ki pligi b'gedola tanakama savar stam gedola l'sikach for Rabbi Eliezer savar stam gedola nami l'shchiva. The machlok, again, this is the opposite of what we said in the Gemara earlier, that machlokas is regarding a large reed mat, where the Tanakama assumes that a large reed mat is meant for schach, whereas Rabbi Eliezer assumes that it's meant for that too is meant for lying on. Umaya sol l'shchiva d'ka'ama. It means that regular reed mats, at least according to Rebbe Eliezer, are always meant for lying on, unless you specify that they're meant for schach.